From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 30th day of January, 2023. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Brian Splitt at agmarket.net. Kurt Kimmel is out of the office for the afternoon. A bit later in the program, Gary Schnicki will be here to discuss a decision farmers must make by the 15th day of March. It's not crop insurance. It is, however, the ARC and PLC decision. And then as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics, and we'll do all of that on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, anytime you'd like, on demand at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn settled today at $6.83¾. That was up 0.75¢. The May futures at $6.81¼ a bushel, a penny and a quarter higher. And December corn, that's the new crop, at $5.89¾, up 2½¢. March soybeans, $15.35¼, a gain today of 25¾¢. The May up 25¢ at $15.29½. A new crop November up 16¼ at $13.67¼. The bean meal, $488.70, up $15.20, and the bean oil at $61.32, 70¢ higher. Soft red winter wheat, the March contract at $7.52½, up 2½, and new crop in the December at $7.82¾, up 3½. The hard red winter wheat up 4½ at $8.73¾ for the March, and the May contract there at $8.67¼, up 4¾¢. Live cattle futures at $163.35, settled $2.52½ higher for 100 pounds. March feeders at $183.92½, up 45¢, and lean hogs $86.52½, 7½¢ higher. Crude oil at $77.98, $1.70 lower. Diesel fuel or heating oil, a penny, 12½¢ lower, at $3.06¢. The wholesale price of gasoline today at $2.50¢, 8½¢ lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands around 33,886. It's down 161 points, and the S&P 500 is down 40 points at 4,043¾. Brian Splitt is now here. He is with agmarket.net. Hi, Brian. Thanks for filling in for Kurt Kimmel today. I appreciate that much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on in his absence, Todd. Appreciate it.
I'd like to run you through some of the chart patterns that are on the corn, soybean, and wheat nearby contracts at the moment. Can we start with soybeans? What patterns are you watching, and what might have you concerned?
Well, Todd, we could potentially be forming a right shoulder on a head and shoulder topping pattern. We had made some highs on December 30th as we were finishing up the calendar year. From that high, we broke. Then we went up and made some highs. That was a couple days after that January report. That was the peak at 1548½. And then we broke again, making lows early last week. So here we are back up at 1533 currently. So this would be a potential right shoulder. Now, with these head and shoulder patterns, generally you don't want to trade them until they take out the neckline. And so really, in order for this pattern to validate itself, we have to take out the lows that we made last week in that 1480 area. If we do that, then it would project down to about 1410. So again, I just really want to reiterate that this is not a head and shoulder top until it gets through the neckline. Until that, it just looks like it could be forming the right shoulder.
Always, these are underpinned by fundamentals. Is there anything in the marketplace that tells you soybeans should go lower?
Well, right now, short-term buying seems to be coming from a continued dry forecast in Argentina. They did just get some rain over the weekend, and that was what we were pricing in when we made those lows at 1480 coming out of the weekend last week. So now we do have a period ahead of us of some drier bias. And I think some of the trade is concerned about the wetness in Brazil delaying harvest. But generally speaking, as we get through the month of February, we're going to start getting more and more harvest accomplished in Brazil. Brazil. We should start seeing the export business shift from the U.S. to Brazil, and as that happens, that would potentially be more of a bearish outlier. So there is potential for some of this rain that is delaying harvest in some areas of Brazil, also improving the crop in other areas. And so I think it's really just a matter of the export business that we've been seeing. Shipments have been very good and above where we need to be to hit the USDA's target. So we need to start seeing these shipments back off and start seeing some of the business go to Brazil instead of the U.S.
Staying with fundamentals but switching to corn, I was out of the office last week. Don't know what the exports looked like for that particular commodity. Were they good or bad last week?
So last week's exports were okay. They were down about 300,000 tons from the previous week. A little bit disappointing if you're, you know, looking for the export lineup to really start ramping up here, because it should if we're going to start getting corn out of the country as we get into spring. That is going to be when we would typically see the corn shipments pick up pace, and we would really see the bean shipments drop off dramatically. So we need to get more sales on the books for corn. I'd like to see a little over 1 million tons per week. We were just under 1 million tons last week, and like I said, below the previous week. So a little disappointing, but I tell you what, a lot of the spread activity that we've seen has been supportive to the idea that we're starting to see some business being done. We saw March gain on the May and July contracts over the last several sessions. We've been seeing May gain on July. We've seen all the old crop gain on the new crop. So we are seeing a little bit of unwinding of that strength today, but I'm not going to take too much out of that just in one day's trade. And for the most part, the corn spreads have been strong since that January report.
And nonetheless, fundamentally, corn exports lag well behind where they have been in the past. You have a crop that will be put in the ground, Safrina, that is, for corn in Brazil soon, and it looks like it should go in on time, although you mentioned maybe some delayed harvest with soybean. That will have an impact there. And then, of course, we always are dealing with a big crop to begin with in the United States, and not troubles to speak of at this point because there isn't a crop in the ground. What did the charts tell you about the corn?
So looking at March corn right now, I think probably the most important development recently is that after that January report, which again was bullish because of the harvested area reduction, we had been trending lower. We made contract highs in May. We had some major highs that were scored in October for our fall highs. We had some secondary peaks in early November. We failed at that trend line again right at the end of the year on December 29th and 30th. And then after that January report, we did break out through that downtrend. So as long as we're maintaining price action above that, I think we're probably prone to the market retesting some of the highs that we made in early to mid-September and then again in late October, which would be just a hair above $7, 7.02¾, 7.02¾, 7.02, and then another flurry of highs just above 7 in late October, early November. So I think that's the path of least resistance. Now, in order to do that, we're going to have to take out the highs that were scored a couple days after that January report, which was 6.88¾, and we failed just shy of that last night at 87¼. So if we can't get through that area in the short term, we may very well just come back down and revisit last week's lows, which was 6.61¼. And that would also be a retest of this long-term uptrend that we've been in since July. So you've got July lows, you've got early December lows, and then you've got the lows that were made in early January, just before that January report. That uptrend would come in tomorrow right at about 6.60. So if we fail to break through those highs that were made roughly 2 weeks ago, we may very well just go sideways a little bit and retest 660 here in the short term.
Wheat oftentimes will have an impact on the corn market as well. What do you see for the hard red winter and soft red winter wheat futures?
So hard red looks better on the chart right now than soft red does. And going back to fundamentals, that makes a lot of sense based on where we saw the increases in the winter wheat acres. So we saw a lot of increase in Illinois and Indiana and Ohio, Missouri, the hard red areas. Did not see the same type of increase in acres. So one of the assumptions after that report would be that we would see hard red gain value against the soft red. And really, since the report, it's done just that. The day of the report, we had hard red, and this is on the March contract, settle about 92 cents premium to the soft red. We're currently at about $1.21 premium of the hard red. So we've seen hard red put on about a 30 cents more than soft red since that report. I would say that the hard red has taken out its downtrend from the October highs, where the soft red contract is still roughly a dime away from its downtrend, so it still hasn't even gone to test it yet. And so I think you've got a little bit of different fundamental cases here for the soft red versus the hard red. And in the big picture, I think we would continue to expect the hard red to gain on soft red, especially if we continue to see more of a drier bias out west versus the eastern Corn Belt.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. Always good to be here.
That's Brian Splitt. He is with AgMarket.net. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Gary Schnittke, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. He's penned an article for the FarmDoc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu about the ARC and PLC decision farmers must make by the 15th day of March. That date will sound familiar. It's also the crop insurance decision date, although they are two different decisions. Gary, thank you for being with us. Tell me about some of the things you wrote about in this article.
Yeah, so every year now, since the passage of the last Farm Bill, farmers can change their ARC PLC choices by FSA Farm, and they have come March 15th to do that. If they don't want to change those decisions, they can keep what they had last year and not go in and talk to FSA. But this year, again, farmers for each FSA farm and each crop on each FSA farm, they can choose PLC or ARC County. And again, we look at those decisions for crop and county and sort of make our recommendations of what people should think about for each crop on that FSA farm.
Let's start with some definitions for the coverages. PLC stands for price loss coverage. What is it?
Price loss coverage, PLC, makes payments when the market year average price, and this would be for the 2023 year, is below effective reference price. For corn, the effective reference price is $3.70. For soybeans, it's $8.40. Those are the same as it has been. And by the way, next year, the effective reference price for both crops will likely be above the current levels, but this year it's $3.70 and $4.40. So if we have a market year average price below those, we'll get a payment.
And then there's ARC, agricultural risk coverage. Most people think of it as ARC County, although there is ARCIC, that stands for individual coverage.
Yeah, there is ARCIC, and for that coverage, farmers enroll their entire farm, and it's a farm guarantee. So each crop comes together and there's one guarantee for that crop. ARC County, again, is a revenue program at the county level. It makes a payment when county revenue, which equals harvest yield times a market year average price, is below guarantee, which is 86% of the benchmark yield and benchmark price.
And how are those figured?
Benchmark yield is an Olympic average of the five previous yields, lagged 1 year, and the benchmark price is the five previous prices, lagged 1 year, and those are cupped, or the minimum is $3.70, or the effective reference price for corn, or $8.40, the effective reference price for soybeans.
The difference between the guideposts for these products, the reference price for one and the benchmark prices for the other, aren't that different really for corn and certainly not for wheat. However, there is quite a spread for soybean. Do you have recommendations for farmers?
Yeah. So, and as you mentioned, Todd, that there is a big difference for soybeans between the effective reference price and the ARC benchmark price. Given where all these prices are at, though, we do not expect payments for 2023. And if we're getting payments, something's fallen out of bed pretty bad. So we're not expecting payments. But for corn, you know, you could go either way, PLC or Arc County. I tend to maybe lean towards Arc County because it will pay in years in which you have low yields. But you have to have really low yields for Arc County to make payments. So there's not much of a chance for any payment to occur. For soybeans, we lean towards Arc County, and that occurs because the Arc County benchmark price is $9.57, which is much higher than the effective reference price, which is $8.40. So that $9.57 causes much higher chance of an Arc County payment for soybeans than for PLC. Having said that, the chance of any sort of payment for 2023 is pretty low, at least what we're thinking the prices are now. For wheat, effective reference price is $5.50. Benchmark price is $5.50 for Arc. They're the same. And you could go either way. Probably maybe lean towards PLC, but you know, it's a toss-up one way or the other at this point. You don't really know a lot to make a decision on one versus the other.
This is a decision that farmers and landowners must let the FSA, the Farm Service Agency, know by the 15th day of March. That's the same day that the crop insurance decision is due. However, do you have to let them know if you don't make changes from the previous year?
No, you just, if there isn't a change, it's you leave everything remain the same. So there's no real need to make those changes. But if you do want to make a change, you'll have to March 15th.
Changing topics just a bit, have you done any pre-work on the crop insurance side?
So there isn't a lot of changes for the 2023 year. Most people have taken RP in the past. That looks like a good policy for the future. In central Illinois and northern Illinois, we look at 85 and 80% coverage levels. In southern, we see more 75 and 80%. That seems to be a good place to be for both corn and soybeans. Soybeans, there haven't been many payments here lately. And so some farmers are thinking about lowering coverage levels. I would be cautious of that just because. If we're looking at though, maybe think about lowering the RP coverage level and taking SCO or ECO, shifting away from a farm coverage to more of a county coverage. That can, in certain cases, lower cost. But you give up farm coverage and take on county coverage.
Thank you much.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Gary Schnitke. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can read more from him about the ARC and PLC decision on the FarmDoc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Let's check the weather forecast now with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us. I think we have a lot to cover today. First, begin with the cold temperatures in the Midwest. Oh, and Texas as well. Tell me about them.
Yeah, certainly this Arctic air that's flowing down into the middle of the country, pretty intense for this time of year. However, it is going to be transitory and so relatively short duration, but intense cold shot here for the plains as well as here in the Midwest. Even though temperatures will be, you know, dropping to zero or below zero in parts of, you know, the north central U.S., and even, you know, temperatures in the teens down into areas of parts of the southern plains, we still don't see this cold as being any kind of threat to any unprotected winter wheat, either across the plains hard red belt or, for that matter, here in the Midwest soft red winter wheat belt.
What are you watching through the first part of February?
Yeah, we're seeing warmer temperatures quick to return to the region here. It's really starting over the upcoming weekend and continues through all of next week. So at least the first half of Feb is shaping up to be, again, warmer biased here across much of the central U.S.
In South America, I'm sure we're still concerned about what's happening in Argentina. Can you give me an update?
Yeah, we continue to be in our critical window, especially for soybean pod development here. That continues throughout the month of February. As we've seen over the past week, there has been some significant rain activity in portions of Argentina. There's going to be a little bit more rain within the next 3 to 4 days there. But one of the main items of news here today is that the rain event here this week, it looks less than what it looked like going into the weekend. So overall, the pattern shifted a bit drier for Argentina. And then temperatures next week are looking hotter for Argentina. So again, there's been some improvement here in crop conditions via the rains, but certainly a little bit of everything here in the pattern, a little bit more rain, albeit minor, and then potentially an increase in crop stress again by the middle part of next month.
In center west Brazil, Mato Grosso, they are harvesting soybeans. How's that going along, and is the weather cooperating?
Yeah, with the soybean harvest, you know, compared to last year, harvest is slower, not by any kind of huge degree, but this is still the time of year where rain activity continues across the region. And what we see over the next few weeks is a very normal or seasonal rainfall pattern for center west Brazil. So could result in some isolated or localized delays, but in general, this should make for a steady harvest progress set of weeks here coming up over the next few weeks. So we do not see any exceptionally wet patterns that would really begin to, you know, bog things down and become, you know, concerning for that area.
I know that it is difficult with weather to look very far out, but can you think a little bit about the safrinha crop for corn, which will come in after the soybeans are harvested, and the La Nina if it's waning, and what impact that may have over that season?
Yeah, typically with at least a waning La Nina, that doesn't have much of a correlation with late rainy season or early dry season, you know, rainfall there across the Brazil winter corn belt. And what we've seen here of late has been, you know, continuation of good rains, and with still a more normal or seasonal pattern over the next few weeks, that'll continue to maintain or even further boost soil moisture for upcoming winter corn planting. So as of right now, we don't have any concerns. One thing we're watching as we get into late February and March, do you have more of a subseasonal pattern that could begin to dry things out? We're not seeing any indications of that right now, but that's one thing to monitor. It's kind of outside of the whole La Nina phenomenon, but that's something to keep an eye on as we approach the end of the rainy season here within the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Thank you very much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.